Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload something. I made the promise that I was going to do one once a week until the end of the year. The problem that I didn't foresee was internet trouble. So I've had some episodes. I've had difficulty getting things up, but I will do my best. I'm going to give you three in the next 7 days to make up. Get us back on track, but I apologize for not having an episode last week, but I'll make it up. I'll go ahead and go. Also, to you are listening to this podcast through the iTunes search engine, which is the most efficient way. Enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and it pops right up. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into some of the results. As I told you guys before, I work for Glory Kickboxing now, so when I talk about the cards, I'm just going to talk about the action that took place in the ring. Won't talk too much about narratives, but I'll definitely focus more on what I saw and what I think will happen in the future. I will do my best to be as non-biased as possible. So, moving into the card, we've got the headliner. Alex Pereira is your new Glory middleweight champion as he beats Simon Marcus. The scores of 48-46 on two cards, 49-45 on two, and 50-44. On the last one. Definitely, I feel like I disagree with that 50-44 just because I did think that most people gave Marcus that last round. He really had, even though he started off, I think Pierre had a really good first 40 seconds. I thought clearly towards the middle and end of round one, it looked like Marcus was, you know, really trying to get going and, you know, Pierre was slowing down maybe from the body work that happened throughout the fight. But nevertheless, as Pierre came out, boxing on point as usual. He kicks in a timely manner, like he finds the right moment to throw kicks. But he doesn't really have combo to kick flow. It's an interesting, it's his style. So he finds his boxing, and with that length, every once in a while he'll sneak a knee in there. He does a really good job of it. Puts up the numbers. He has really good volume. Simon Marcus, different game. He's still a Muay Thai guy who's doing kickboxing. So when he fought Muay Thai, only Muay Thai back in his line fight days and before it, he really focused on a strong clinch. He's a physical specimen. You know, he's ripped up, super strong. And when he gets a hold of people in the clinch, he usually has a lot of success. I also know a couple times during the fight, he was told to break when I thought that he was definitely being active with his knees in the clinch. In the end, he plays a single power kick game for the most part, and then he looks for strong boxing. Every once in a while, he'll back himself to the ropes, and I think Alex saw that, and he followed and threw in his combination flurries. He did a good job of keeping Marcus from throwing in between. In the second round, a combination flurry put Marcus down. Marcus got up, and Marcus is so much of a fighter that even when he's hurt, sometimes people are all, you know, thinking hold, but he looks for a big shot. In this round, he just kind of moved around. He was definitely trying to get his head back, if you will, as he was moving about the ring, and he's off balance several times, and he was able to bite down on the mouthpiece, keep the guard up, take big shots, but not too bad of big shots, and he was able to get through the round. So after he gets through this round, the round three was a better round for him, but people didn't notice it because he was still a little bit hurt. Sometimes it happens in the scorecards where, because the last round was so dominant, people forget the next round. If a person doesn't make a complete comeback, the effect of the round before can linger over into the third round. So some people just kind of lean and give that round away anyways. I thought that he had some okay work in round three. I still see Alex winning the round, but I thought that it was a good bounce back round considering he was out of it. I thought Pierre had a pretty solid round four, and I thought round five was definitely for Simon Marcus, who, as I said before, if you take away that first 45 seconds, maybe even a minute of work from Alex, I thought that the rest of the round was Alex, you know, staying up and definitely the champion on the hunt to try to keep his title. So I've got no problems with the scorecards, for the most part, except for that last one. I just disagree that it was 50-44. But the down that was scored in the second was definitely significant, and I can definitely see three rounds or more going to Alex. So, of course, we all know what's next. Usury is waiting for him on the Amsterdam card. That's going to be a lot of fun. Him and Usury Bagari, that's just going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome fight. I'm really, really excited about it. So, Alex Pereira, length versus length. Really good kickboxing, really good boxing volume. We've got really, this is good stuff. And if Alex wins that fight, he'd probably be my fighter of the year. You know, if he, and I had some good stuff, you know, throughout as far as how I did the cards and how I, I have good candidates throughout. K1 is having a really good year. And there's just a lot of names and a lot of guys. You know, Takuru, who I gave it to last year, he also is doing well. But, man, I'm a really, really, really big fan of Alex's work. If he can go off of a, even though he's losing at first, a stoppage victory over Adesanya, and then a victory over, you know, to win the title, and then if he were able to beat Usyk, he'd probably be my fighter of the year, if he could do it. But beating Usyk is going to be tough, because this kid is legit. He's probably, skill set-wise, one of the best fighters on the planet. That is a great fight to watch those two go at, and I'm looking forward to it. Next, we're going to go ahead and jump into the tournament field. We had Shang Long Zhang, as he gets a decision over Quadre Taranaki. This fight was just Zhang. It didn't show his best tools. It just shows that he was better. He was able to score a little bit more in every round. He moves on after a clean victory, 30-27 on most of the cards, 129-28 over Taranaki. The other card was Masaya Kubo, as he gets a awesome head kick KO over Cheng Shishang Lee. Lee, of course, coming off the big KO in New York, so people really thought that he had a good opportunity to win this one. But, man, Kubo really timed the left high kick well. It caught him clean, took him down. It's just one of those cool moments that when I put my highlight of, you know, KOs for the year, that was really good stuff by Masaya Kubo. Lee's still an awesome fighter, still got KO pop, still a strong kid, and I expect to see more of him down the road. But in this game, the simplest mistakes could be the end of the fight. And just didn't get the hand up high enough. And I thought in that position he was surprised by the distance of when the low kick or the high kick came up. Big time head kick stoppage there. Then in one of the better fights of the year, and definitely the fight of this card, Shelong Zhang and Masaya Kubo really brought it. They really brought it going for that tournament. I thought that you could make the argument that the 30-26s, because there was a down score, I can't remember when, but despite that distance, and there was another 29-27 scorecard, despite that distance and despite the fact that Kubo went down, the effort in which he fought back into the fight, they had some awesome exchanges, and they really, I mean, it was kickboxing at its highest level. I mean, it really was good back and forth. I thought that there was a determination to not let the other person get too far on the cards, and then a determination to try to make sure you got your hands raised more than just, I'm up. You know, sometimes you get that, and it's not wrong when a fighter does it. Sometimes you'll see the Pintos will get up on the cards, and then you'd see kind of play like the Thailand style of being a little conservative late. Nothing wrong with that. Get your hands raised. In this situation with Kubo and Zhang, I thought that to the very last moment, Kubo really was going to try to win this fight, really try to come back, really try to battle and do whatever it took. It just did not go his way. So shout out to both for putting on a great fight. Zhang wins your tournament. He's a guy to look for in the division. They need more depth at 143 pounds, so it's good to have another name. Going to go ahead and go into the super fight on that main card. Junior Tafa, as he gets a KO victory over Quanxiao Lau. There was two knockdowns in the round, maybe three, but for sure the first one was a standing eight, which probably should not have happened. There are no standing eights in glory. Either you're going to call the fight or you're going to let them keep going. So there was a mistake there. In general, that ref's usually really good, so I don't go too crazy about it, but that was a miss on their part. But afterwards, it was clear. Junior Tafa looks for his power punches. He looks for kicking sporadically. Like, he finds his moment for a kick. As I was saying with Alex Pierre before, they find their moments. Not looking to kick the whole time, but they find their moments. But outside of whipping a head kick or a power kick here and there, Tafa brought the violence with the hands. And he was able to score. He would basically throw big shots over around the guard as Lau tried to use the earmuffs. And once he did it, he would shoot a big power uppercut or something down the middle. And that was able to score down for Tafa. He continued to throw big shots until he got the first round stoppage victory. He said that he's good to go, so he's healthy. Would love to fight in New York or Holland. I know they're going to use him more, probably use him more for either the West Coast of America or the return visits out to that part of the world, whether it be Australia, China, whatever. But I like him. Powerful guy, and we'll see what comes from his future. We now head to the fight pass portion of the card where Rico Verheerven defeats Antonio Bigfoot Silva by TKO stoppage. This is an interesting fight in terms of a lot of people were critical of it, didn't like it, don't like the idea of the champion fighting a guy that wasn't ranked, a guy that was coming from MMA who didn't have a big, you know, kickboxing background. I personally disagree with this group just because I've been a kickboxing fan for quite some time, and some of the bigger fights as far as television-wise, as far as noteworthy-wise, was some of Bob Sapp's fights, you know, and the Acapona fights. And it's not like I loved the fights, but I understand that they've always been a part of kickboxing as far as selling. Sometimes it's the best in the world, and sometimes it's spectacle. And this clearly went into the category of spectacle because Silva doesn't have a huge history in kickboxing. But man, he took a lot of low kicks in the first round, and he battled. The biggest problem with him was he wasn't able to find anything to get consistent offense off. Silva, he stood at a stance where he's trying to prepare himself for the low kicks. It just didn't work because Rico's just too good. He's trying to throw his power shots over the top. It just didn't work because Rico's defense was too good. And then as he could see that he's visibly hurt by the low kicks in the first round. You could see that he was slowing. You could see that, you know, he was getting up a little bit slower, moving a little bit slower. They go into round two, and right away, he runs at Rico, puts together a barrage of offense, trying to get that big shot. Rico turns him, puts together a quick combo, and there's a head kick in there. He goes down for the first time. After he went down that first time, I wondered if we were going to see him again. He gets up, and he's clearly not there. And as he's taking big shots, the ref comes in and stops it before we got our, well, what I call a SportsCenter-esque KO. SportsCenter is a broadcasting channel here in the States, and they have a top 10, and things that make that top 10 list are usually, if a combat sports makes it, it's because of a big KO. And that's what we were waiting for, essentially, when we watched these guys go at it. We were waiting for a big KO to be the end of the night for the champion, but, excuse me, for the ex-UFC champion title, you know, challenger. But the ref got in there and saved him while he was hurt, and I really agree with the decision. And now, of course, everything is set up for Rico Verheerven, as he's going to go ahead and headline in Holland, and it all went according to plan. He looked injury-free, so hopefully we'll see what happens with him after that big fight with Ben Sadiq. And, of course, we'll see if the use Silva again. He posted it on social media that he planned on doing more kickboxing, so maybe he signed a multi-fight deal and will get more opportunities, but he couldn't ask for a tougher draw on the first one. Next fight is Wei Zhao as he defeats Andre Walker. You know, it's interesting. One of my favorite things about Wei Zhao's performance, and up to this moment, it hadn't been the hometown team, you know, the Chinese fighters. They didn't have too many things go their way in the cards, but the way Wei Zhao fought, he fought in the way I could see him competing for a while in Glory, because he just brought it, bit down in the mouthpiece, decided he was going to throw power combos. I thought that Andre Walker did good things, but he did them kind of like sly, like, you know, play with boxing, play with switch stance, kind of shot a jab out like the game was hit and not get hit. Like, he played it kind of cool, whereas you did not get that kind of play at all whatsoever when you watch Zhao throw offense at him. So Andre Walker had some moments, but in the end, 30-27 on all the cards makes sense to me, because Wei Zhao was just so powerful. Like, he threw his combinations with heat and pushed the pace. Walker's going to get other opportunities. This is his second opportunity in Glory. He's 1-1. Zhao, if you keep throwing like that, you're going to make great fights for a lot of guys. So I like him, and I'm curious to see what comes from him down the road. Next fight, Alan Shenson. As he gets the victory over Sang Gao. Allen, very powerful, scored a down. And he's either the first or second, I can't remember it exactly. But he scored a down, but really he just proved to be the stronger kickboxer throughout. I thought that there were moments where Gao was trying to get himself back into the fight with combination flurries. He just couldn't handle the power coming from Allen, who was the superior Even if he wasn't the superior technician of a kickboxer throughout, and I do think that he overall was a better kickboxer, it was his ability to just throw heat consistently that was able to give him the victory over Gao. So, good stuff there. They had a Senda fight, which turned into a big-time KO as Hong Zhang Kong gets a big-time KO over Young Sun, the first head kick KO. The fight didn't even get into it. I remember they were trying to explain the standard rules. They posted it up on the screen. They go off there, and a head kick ends the night very, very quickly for Sun. Good stuff by Kong. And again, I don't know if I'm going to see these guys ever again. I don't know if they want to use them on the card or if they want to focus on doing a Sanda fight every time they go. I'm not sure what their goal is there. All I know is that head kick was awesome. So good stuff by Hongjing Kong. Ji Luig takes on Zaza Soari, ended in a no contest because I remember when I saw it happen, I was like, is that an elbow? Remember, this was my first thought. Luckily, they called it a no contest, but Luig just looked like she didn't have a lot of fighting experience. The one thing that you see from a lot of the Chinese fighters, because of the style of fighting that they learn, is almost kind of To explain it, it looks kind of like a sidekick that you would see in Taekwondo, but it shot up at the head, and they did it several times. And the way that a Thai fighter would push their hip forward and flick their knee flick their knee out, and then really drive their foot into the face, like straight on, like hip straight on. They kind of take their hips to the side. There's a small hop with the back step, and then they shoot their sidekick straight up at the head. The Sanda slash, it's got some, probably kung fu roots and shooting that type of head kick. I saw that a lot in this card. And Louis came out and did that a couple times. But Zaza, who's never the stronger female fighter, seemed the stronger fighter in this one. Like in her international outings, Zaza, when she's gone against Rina and so on, she's not the stronger there. Like that's not usually her strength. She just picks up the rhythm of the game really well. So I thought here she picked up the rhythm extremely well, got herself going, combinations going, just not big combinations because she still plays like a Thai. So just twos here and there. She plays the Thai game, body kicks here and there, low kick here and there. I thought that she was on her way to a decision victory before the cut stoppage happened. So we'll see. We'll see if they use her again. She's definitely, people know who she is. And of course, being with one of the Pentos, there's recognition there. So we shall see what happens to her down the road. Patch Panmarong, Kit Mung Kao gets a victory over Li Jai. Simple, plain and simple. Just too much body kick. Too much body kick. I thought the boxing movement happened here and there, but really, Patch Panmarong, it's just that he just has a great timing on that, letting that leg go, finding whether he finds under the ribs, whether he hits you in the arms and knocks you off balance, and his subtle movement, he keeps a lot of offense from coming back. So Li Ji wasn't able to get into his fight flow. I thought that he had some moments. I didn't mind the 29-28 cards because you can make the argument that Ji outscored in one of the rounds, but Petch Pumrung coming off of losing the title, the title opportunity, I'm excited to see more from him down the road. Pascal Schroth gets a victory over Quang Zhao Meng that started the card off. Split decision. I thought that it was an all right kickboxing outing. Again, you've got to see more from both. I thought that Schroth really showed, for me anyways, he showed me a guy who I want to see a lot more of. I've seen him before on other cards, but this performance, I really thought, you know what? I like what you bring to the table. I like your offensive skill set. I'm curious about it. I really liked it. I really did like what he did. So I want to see him fight more. I think he's a talented guy. I had fun with the card. I really did. There was good stuff. And Meng came up short here. But again, he's going to get other opportunities because they're going to do China again. So I thought the crowd was great. I thought the production was great. It was one of my favorite Glory productions to watch. Like looking at it, they had the three or four big kind of panel screens, and as opposed to having the fighter go through the middle, they came from the outside and up, and the way they did the lights and the crowd, and I really, really enjoyed it. So good stuff there. I'm excited to see what comes from them down the road, but it really was a fun card, and Glory's right back at it. That France card is one of the best looking kickboxing cards, period. Like, it is an amazing card. So I'm really, really, really excited about it. So we're going to go ahead and go into George Petrosian. And he is, it's funny because I heard that this was his 100th victory, which I did not know. I did not know that this is, I just kind of lost track of the fact that he's still out there fighting and winning and, you know, doing his thing at a high level. And I think it's because he's not on a big promotion. Maybe that has, I won't say necessarily hurts him, but I think it took from a guy who we really should be paying attention to all the time. But his fight with Chris Ngembe was, you know, his 100th victory. Chris Ngembe is, of course, a professional, like not just a professional fighter. This man went out, I believe, got his law degree and has been working as a lawyer these past few years, but he still loves kickboxing. So I've seen him pop up on W5 cards and so on. So I was excited to see him in there, get this opportunity. But as much as difficult it is to beat Giorgio Petrosian, go ahead and say times a million to beat Giorgio Petrosian in Italy. I thought that he put up good effort. I didn't get to see all the fights, but clips emerged, so I was able to see some of it. Definitely good stuff on his part. I mean, Petrosian's an awesome fighter, man. He's one of the greats for a reason. His skill set matches up at any time in history. What I mean is, if you were to put him in the 90s, if you were to put him in the 80s, the question would still, where would he rank in the world? I'd say right at the top. If you were to put him 20 years down the road, and I don't even know what the fighter looks like 20 years down the road, I think Giorgio Petrosian would have success in that era. He really is a special, special fighter who entertaining, brings it. He's the kind of guy who reflected the sport well. We wonder what would have happened if his bad hands didn't slow what could have been an even greater career. You know, having to miss big, you know, gaps of time for long stretches, like that stuff matters. You know, that it really does. So for me, I just love that he is fighting still. And I'm hoping that whether Glory or K1, he gets the opportunity to return into a platform where everybody can see him, not just the Italian fan base and not just through social media outlets releasing small clips. He's a guy who needs to be seen still because he could still beat anybody in the world. Also, as we look at some of the great fighters of all time, Bokao Bechamek gets a victory over Sergey Kulivan. And it is one of those things where it's like, a lot of people aren't as big on Bokao anymore, and I understand. I understand that he had the great K1 run, and then he had the, and of course you guys have heard me talk about it, he had the great, it's Kuliba. I said Kulivan, Kuliba, or Kuleba. I've talked about it on the show many times before, that after that great K1 run, He won the S Cup in shootboxing, which is just awesome. So that puts him in the same category as Andy Sauer, as being the only two that's done that. And I look at that, and then I look at the TIE Fight run, where in the beginning the TIE Fight run had decent opposition for him, so he wins that tournament. But then he becomes a star in Chuck, because he was not a star. He was okay known. He was all right on TV here and there. But he became a superstar in Thailand because of Thai Fight. He was already a superstar to the world and bigger to the world because of the K1 run. But he became a superstar because of that fight, that Thai Fight run. So after the first tournaments, I had Abraham Aquini and some of the other tougher opposition. The opposition changed. And the guys that he went against were of lesser value. And he just go out there and, you know, put on a Hulk smash type performance and get his hands raised. So I understand what they're doing. I understand what they're trying to accomplish. And man, I appreciate what it did for his recognition in Thailand, because he really should have been known just as much as anybody else. But for the most part, he is a guy who will take a tough fight here and there and win it. You know, the Andre Kuhlman win, he's beaten him a couple times over the past years. Those are good. The Dylan Salvador win, those are good. He is a really, really good fighter still, a really awesome fighter still. Hopefully he can land, maybe he can make it to Glory, maybe he can make it to K1 again. Hopefully he can fight where the platform is big again. However, in China, he's still, you know, doing well, winning fights. Of course, the Lee Long, Long thing is just, horrible decision. He's the man. He's one of the best guys in the world. And if you get a chance to watch this fight, it's one of the most entertaining Bukau fights in the last 3 years. It is a lot of fun because they're trying to kill each other with a little bit of everything. And, of course, he's got the – when his offense gets going, the knees, especially when he gets to use, like, head kicks – or, excuse me, elbows and so on. But, man, he really had fun, played with some different types of kicks. He's a great fighter. Bukau is still a great fighter. And I'm hoping that – it's at some period of time they're able to give him that platform once again where he could be one of the best on the planet, because he really, really is. Because he's got the skill to be one of the best on the planet, but it's been a long time. Outside of Dylan Salvador, Andre Kuhlman, both guys are ranked in the liver kick top 10. One for the weight below, one for 70 kgs, the other one for 65, I want to say. They're really tough. They're really tough fighters. He's able to get victories over them. I just want to see more of Bukau. I'm still a big, huge, huge Bukau fan. So, anyways, today's show won't be that long. As I said before, I'm going to do three over the next stretch. I'm hoping to get Caitlin Young on as a representative. She is a Muay Thai fighter. She's fought online fight before. And then, of course, she does. She helps with promoting shows and matchmaking shows up in Minnesota. She's been a part of the Minnesota Martial Arts Academy, now known as just The Academy, which has been for like the last 3 or 4 years. So I want to get her on because she deals with fighters, and we're going to approach the question of, do fighters or should fighters have to sell tickets? And we're going to talk about its importance, you know, what it gives to the fighter, what it takes from the fighters. We're going to really, really jump into that one deep. So I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless you guys. Have a good week. And I'll be back. I'll be back. I think I'm going to try to record on Saturday or Sunday for that one, Monday at the latest. And if I do Monday, then I'll do the following show on that Thursday. So, as I said, three in the next 7 days. So, thank you for listening. God bless, and everybody have a good one. Peace.